The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by University of Phoenix, Tempur-Pedic, and Comcast.
Never a dull moment at Halas Hall. Good evening, hello, and welcome. It's another edition of Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Zach Zaidman, joined by 85 Bear Tom Thayer and former Bears quarterback Jim with you. And a lot to talk about. We'll start with the news that broke just a few minutes ago. The Bears making it official. Jimmy Clausen, the former Notre Dame quarterback, has signed a one-year deal with the team. The Bears releasing linebacker Lawrence Wilson. Clausen going to Twitter to say, quote, excited to start a new chapter with the Chicago Bears, blessed to have this opportunity, and looking forward to getting started. We'll start with you, Tom. What do you make of this move?
Well, I think it's just an indication and another showing that Phil Emery leaves no stone unturned. Right there, you're just trying to investigate where a talent is at. Coming off a shoulder issue, you got to see where is he at in his development stages. How many reps does he have in his shoulder to come out and contribute in practice? But those are all indicators that they'll get through his physical. And obviously, with the signing of him, they believe that this guy is ready and fit to go on the practice field and contribute. And that's all they're looking for, is a guy to come in here and fight for that opportunity. How is this quarterback position going to play out behind Jay Cutler? And Clausen's been in the league. Nothing's going to be a shock to him. And I think he's proved that he has the mind to come in here, understand, and cultivate throughout this system.
Yeah, for me, I think when you look at it, he obviously comes with more starts and playing time than when you look at Jordan Palmer. And so he'll be able to push. They'll be able to compete for that roster spot to back up Jay Cutler. See where he's at. He's similar in terms of his skill set. He's a pocket passer who can move around, but I don't think everybody knows Jimmy Clausen to be a scrambler. And he somewhat, kind of got kicked to the curb down there in Carolina when he played there. Here they draft Cam Newton, number one draft pick overall. The writing's on the wall when that happens. They feel pretty good with Derek Anderson where he's at because he knows the offense so well. So Jimmy Clausen has been somewhat of a school of hard knocks, but he'll have an opportunity to compete. And I think he can push Jordan Palmer to be the backup in Chicago.
And for those that want to look at the numbers to illustrate the point that Jim just made, Clausen has attempted 299 passes in the NFL. Palmer has attempted just 15. And the other two guys on the Bears roster, David Fales, the draft pick, and Gerard Johnson, both have zero attempts in the National Football League. So we'll get to this stuff. We'll break it down. Plenty more coming up in terms of the quarterback situation. Alshon Jeffrey had a lot of interesting things to say about the Bears receiving core this week. And there's the potential that the 2015 NFL draft could be held in Chicago. But before we get to all of that, pleased to be joined now by a guy who played a big role last year. It was his school of hard knocks, and, that linebacking core isn't getting any younger. So Jonathan Bostic could be called upon to play a big role again this season. And we're joined now by the second-year linebacker out of Florida. How you doing, Jonathan?
How you doing?
Doing fantastic. Give us an idea about how much has changed for you from the end of last season to this point in the offseason.
Just really having a full, offseason, kind of really get under my belt. It's really been big for me. Before it's really kind of coming, straight out of the combine, all the combine training, all that stuff, it's tough. Really trying to get in shape for the season, really kind of, be where you want to be as of, knowing the defense, really kind of like the back of your hand, instead of kind of, thinking twice, as whereas in college, you know what you're running, way ahead of time and, what type of scheme, how the defense is going to be ran. It was a little bit different for me last year, especially, coming from Florida, we were a big man-to-man team. And, we run, a little bit of cover three, but we, particularly play man, all day. And, for me, last year, learning that cover two scheme, even still learning it now, how, this defense really kind of plays, together. Because even though, you know, it may not be the most complicated defense, you know, on paper. It's still the details that lay all in between cover two really kind of make this defense, you know, complicated. So you're really just kind of getting this whole offseason, you know, with OTAs now and, you know, getting more and more comfortable, and I feel a lot better. So.
Hey, Jonathan, I was out at OTA today, and I was listening to your linebacker coach, Reggie Herring. You can hear him all over the field. What does that do? Because you're a young guy, and you're coming into your second linebacker's coach in as many years. What? Give us a snippet about Reggie, the new Reggie Herring, the new linebacker's coach for the Bears fans.
Yeah, he's a guy that's into it. You know, he loves what he does. You know, and I enjoy that as well. I've always had the high-energy coaches, really, you know, going all the way back to, you know, Little League, high school, you know, going into college, you know, with Coach Muschamp as well. You know, I've always had high-energy coaches. So, you know, it's something that definitely, you know, he finds different ways to get us going, whether, you know, how he, you know, may talk about a situation or, you know, different things. It's just different ways he can find to, you know, get us going and, you know, make our day, you know, because sometimes every day is not going to be a perfect day for you. You know, so being able to really kind of, you know, relate to all his players, you know, is big. So,
well, it definitely, I think you bring up good points, Jonathan, because you were thrown into the fire last year, and you mentioned how synchronized the defense is with all 11 guys on defense and maybe spot dropping and in zone coverage and those type of things. And then you lose Lance Briggs, who one of the leaders of the defense. I mean, did you find yourself, always catching up? Because you're probably learning so many new things where this year you've got a great base under your feet that you can count on with all the things you learned a year ago.
Yeah, I mean, that it's going to be big, you know, this whole offseason. You know, just really learning from, you know, DJ and Lance, just, you know, keep learning from them, learn from them. You know, Coach Herring, it's really, you know, you really don't get this too often. Like I, you know, even said last year, to really kind of walk in the meeting room every day and really kind of have the, you know, the veterans and, you know, the coaches, you know, that we have around us, has really kind of helped me out and, you know, made my, you know, transition a lot easier. But, you know, it's going to be big.
Linebacker Jonathan Bostic here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Hey, Jonathan, earlier this offseason, Phil Emery said that the only linebacker spot that's been won is the one that belongs to Lance Briggs on the weak side. Now, Shea McClellan has been moved to linebacker. It's just assumed he's going to be the strong side linebacker. DJ Williams is back. It's assumed he's going to be the middle linebacker. Do you believe that you have a legitimate opportunity to be a starter at one of those two positions?
Yeah, you know, that's something, you know, really I go out, you know, every day to, you know, come out here and compete. That's, you know, what we play this game for. Really, you know, go out there, compete, you know, and try to, you know, get better. You know, they've got me working, you know, through all three positions right now. And, you know, just really just keep learning those positions. And even though they got me moving around right now, I'm able to really kind of learn the whole defense and really kind of learn the ins and outs of, you know, every position that they have me in. So, it's, you know, it's definitely helping me in a way, making me a lot more comfortable with the defense. Like I said, you know, it's really just kind of just taking it day by day.
Hey, Jonathan, do you have a preference? Do you like being inside where you got linebacker shoulder to shoulder with you, or do you like having space to one shoulder and all the action going on inside? Like I said, we see that you have the speed and the hitting ability to play anywhere, but where is the preference for you?
I mean, if I had my choice, it'd definitely be in the middle. I mean, that's, you know, what I've always played. It's what I enjoy playing, you know, but really it's just kind of just, you got to take it day by day and, you know, do what these coaches ask. And, you know, I'm enjoying myself out there. I'm learning from, you know, Lance, DJ, Coach Herring, you know, Coach Tucker, and, you know, really just, you know, wherever they ask me to play, you know, I'll be happy, you know, as long as I can go out there and compete and have fun. So.
Well, Jonathan, you mentioned you're playing all three positions, Sam, Mike, and Will. For listeners out there, strong, middle, and weak is Will. How quickly can you put on each hat or is it still coming slow to you, or is it, or are you picking it up where, hey, I can put on the strong side linebacker hat, I can put on the weak side linebacker hat, and I'm good to go? And I know, again, you're out there in just shorts right now running around, but is everything clicking the way you feel it needs to be clicking?
Yeah, I mean, I can see myself, you know, every day getting better, playing certain things faster. Yeah, because, you know, we did, you know, make a couple adjustments in the defense that were definitely, you know, I can say they're going to help benefit me because, you know, it stops that whole thinking process. You know, last year there were a lot of, you know, unorthodox things I was, you know, asked to do in the defense that I've never been, you know, taught before. You know,
right.
A lot of stuff, you know, you've been taught, you know, pretty much carry over from Little League to high school to college and then, you know, right into the NFL. So, you know, like I said, there was, you know, some unorthodox things that, you know, I was asked to do last year. You know, not so much that, you know, I didn't feel comfortable doing them. It's just, you know, it wasn't natural for me.
It's new. It was change for you.
Yeah, it wasn't natural for me. So, you know, this year, you know, we changed back to, you know, what I've always been, you know, traditionally taught, you know, like how we fit up runs, you know, is really going to be one of the main things. You know, really kind of, you know, setting the edge, you know, hammering it back, everything kind of funneled back inside. So which I think is, you know, a lot more natural, you know, for me on my side. You know, I don't have to think as much. I can play a lot faster. So.
Spending time with Jonathan Bostic on Bears All Access, you mentioned something interesting, that your preference is to play the middle. But yet Phil Emery at one point late last year said that perhaps for you, the best position going forward in the future might be on the outside. What was your reaction when you heard that?
To be honest, I mean, I didn't really hear it till, you know, really some people, you know, outside said it. But, you know, that's not really a lot of stuff I kind of pay attention to. You know, my you know, plan right now is really to kind of grow, you know, each and every day. Like I said, you know, I've got a lot of veteran guys in the room that I can learn from. And you really just got to keep learning from. You know, it's not every day, you know, people can walk into the, you know, room with, you know, Lance Briggs, you know, a guy that, you know, has played a lot of football, a lot of good football. So, you know, really just, you know, learning from him each and every day, you know, has really kind of been big for me. You know, I mean, even today, you know, I was coming on a blitz and, you know, he said, you know, hey, you know, they already turned the protection, you know, my way. You know, you can hold that blitz a little bit longer. Just, you know, learning these little things that, you know, he knows already and is really kind of like the back of his hand. There's definitely things that are going to help me out this year.
Hey, Jonathan, when you look at the entire room, defensively speaking, you got all these new guys with Lamar Houston, Willie Young, Jared Allen, Ratliff's going to be here the whole year, new DB veterans, new coaches. How is the camaraderie developing with your side of the football? Not we offense, we don't have to be concerned because they're a group, but how is your new group of guys getting along?
They're getting along well. You know, really guys are just, you know, hungry. They're, you know, ready to – you know, kind of get this bad taste out of our mouth, you know, from last year, because obviously we know, you know, we should have played a lot better than we did last year. And, you know, yeah, you know, we may have had a, you know, a lot of injuries, but, you know, at the same time, you know, we can't have that, you know, as the excuse of, you know, why we're putting some of the stuff we were putting on film. You know, so we definitely weren't happy with ourselves and, you know, we're going to do whatever it takes to, you know, turn that around.
Well, everybody just thinks of the linebacker position that you're just out there hitting, being physical. But you mentioned how the game's played from the neck up, making checks, making calls, adjusting term protections that you just mentioned with Lance Briggs. How much off-season study did you spend in the film room and just time to break down your game a little bit, Jonathan?
Well, like I said, you know, it's definitely tough, you know, watching, you know, last year. Because, you know, there was a lot of things I definitely could improve on. But, you know, when Coach Herring really got the job, you know, that was really the first thing I asked him, you know, how the defense was going to change. And, you know, some of those things that, you know, I had questions about, you know, he said, you know, hey, we're going to make this a lot more natural for you, a lot more of, you know, how you played in college. So, you know, I was definitely happy about that. So, you know, it was tough, you know, watching – you know, our film, because a lot of things that, you know, we are doing last year, you know, I'm not going to be asked to do anymore. So really, you know, just watching, you know, offenses, you know, how they work, you know, how they think, and, you know, watching other defenses around the league and, you know, they're similar to ours, and really just kind of putting myself out there and, you know, what I would do in this situation and, you know, what I need to be thinking in certain situations. You know, just kind of recognizing some things faster. So definitely, like I said, this whole off season really has kind of been big for me, and it's definitely going to help me going forward.
One of the big things you did this offseason, you actually worked out with a lot of the Bears offensive players down in Florida, and I'm sure one of those guys was Roberto Garza, right? Aren't you putting together a youth football camp with the Bears Veterans Center?
Yeah, we definitely tried to get together this offseason. That was something Brandon Marshall had put together, a good little deal down in Florida, really just kind of just get, you know, the whole team around each other. You know, it wasn't exactly all football, really just kind of getting to know some guys and really just kind of being around each other. You know, obviously, you know, we're here, you know, each and every day, and we're in this like a family. So, you know, just kind of getting some of the, you know, new guys and, you know, even, you know, some of, you know, me and, you know, some of the younger guys, you know, and really kind of, you know, be around them, learn about, you know, some of these, you know, older guys and, you know, what they've been through, and really kind of just hang out. But as of the camp aspect, yes, you know, Garza and I are both putting on a camp. It's going to be in June, June 29th. It's going to go until July 2nd, and it's a 4-day camp. It's going to be in Illinois. You know, you can sign up at footballcamps.com. You just register there. You know, it's going to be, like I said, it's going to be a 4-day camp, really. You know, kind of for us, give time to kind of give back to, you know, some younger kids, you know, because that's definitely when I was little, you know, I looked up, you know, to some of these guys that I went to camps and, you know, saw here and there. He's a camp you're pretty much going to remember for a lifetime, so.
Good stuff. He's a salesman, he's a teacher, he's a linebacker, he's a little bit of everything. Hey, Jonathan, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Bears linebacker Jonathan Bostic spending a few moments with us here on Bears All Access. A lot to digest from what we just heard. We'll do that next with 85 Bear Tom Thayer and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller next on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. It's a day that any Bears fan won't want to miss. Bears Day at Arlington, June 22nd. Get autographs from Bears legends or pose with the 85 championship trophy. Tickets are available at arlingtonpark.com. Zach Zaidman, along with 85 Bear Tom Thayer, who is partially responsible for bringing that trophy to Chicago, and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller, who also has a championship ring. And I was thinking about that with the two of you guys when I was watching the Blackhawks and the way they ended up losing the Western Conference Final in the NHL. And, you know, everyone always talks about the great victories, but sometimes the losses, when you're that close to being able to play for a championship, I think the pain of losing a game like that, that's what keeps you coming back to playing sports and trying to get to the mountaintop. But, man, have you guys ever suffered a loss like that in your careers? You obviously hit the top, but when you think back to those worst losses of your career, Tom, does anything stand out?
I think for me is losing the NFC Championship game at home against the San Francisco 49ers in what was called bear weather at the time. That's the worst loss that is the most difficult to swallow, because similar to the Blackhawks, it was on your home field, home ice, in front of your home fans. So that game is probably the hardest loss to get over in my system, because we would have went to the Super Bowl. I think we would have been really successful, but getting beat at home in front of your home fans with that on the line, it's difficult to overcome, and it'll stick with you your whole life.
Yeah, Tom, there were two in mind that I remember just vividly. We played San Diego. Remember when they had Stan Humphries and they went to the Super Bowl? They beat us in Pittsburgh when I was a part of the Steelers. And it was like, here it is, January, and for an AFC championship game, it was 70 degrees, guys. It was like it was made for San Diego. And I remember the last drive, Neil O'Donnell took us down, and he tried to hit Barry Foster with a check down, and Dennis Gibson dove as a linebacker and knocked down that ball, and we were denied going to the Super Bowl. And then a year later, we go to Super Bowl 30 as part of the Steelers, and we lose to the Dallas Cowboys. So it's an empty feeling, like Tom said, because you work so hard and you want it so bad, and you come away empty. You're no different than 31 other teams. You know, you're in second place, but yet you've had to put in another month and a half of work, and it's still not good enough to come away with a championship. So very disappointing and a very empty feeling, no doubt.
You know, I think back, Jim, to I believe you started the last game at Old Soldier Field in that playoff game against the Eagles.
Yep.
When you were at a very high level in your career. The Bears had gone 13-3 that season, and they were rolling, and then unfortunately you didn't get to finish that game.
Yeah, that was, there's another disappointment, you know, and you know, because I do, I feel if you know, if your starter's on the field, I felt we would have won that game. I felt confident going into that game with what we were going to do, and that's a pretty good defensive coordinator, and Jim Johnson. They had a good defense, but I felt we would have shredded that team. I really do. And, you know, it's just – it's unfortunate. It's, again, it's an empty feeling because you work so hard. And, you know, and just Bears fans, knowing how much they back that team and the – you know, just the support that we had and how good of a team we were. We were definitely a good enough team to win a world championship because I'd been on other teams before that were that good, and that team could rival some of the better teams that I've ever been on.
You know, Zach, too, is being removed far enough from the game and just being a fan of the game right now. The loss last year to Green Bay and then leaving the stadium after the Super Bowl loss. As a fan, those are the ones that come back to haunt me because you're not a player, you're not participating. So, again, no matter how far removed of the game you are, even though you did play it, the loss last year to Green Bay was as devastating of an emotion that you had to get over as a fan.
Not just that one, but for a lot of fans, go back to the NFC Championship game against Green Bay at home. Back in 2010, and yeah, the Packers beat the Bears and then go on to win the Super Bowl. Yeah, that's among the toughest that you'll find this millennium when it comes to the Bears. But let's flip forward, because Alshon Jeffrey said something very interesting this week that he believes, guys, that the Bears, between him and Brandon Marshall, the Bears have the best receiving tandem in football. Would you agree?
Jim, you first.
Well, I'll say, I mean, when one guy catches over 1,400 yards and the other guy's over 1,200, yeah, I'd say they're legitimate. I think there's some pretty good tandems in the National Football League, but none better a year ago than what those two put together. And plus, you'd like to think, again, year one to year two, can they put up better numbers? Yes, you got to stay healthy. Should be able to do more in the second year of a system. So I'm pretty intrigued. I don't think they're far off. They're confident. They believe in their ability, and they're outstanding players. And as for skill positions, there's not too many teams that can rival the Bears. Skill position players between Cutler, the receiving core, and Matt Forte in the backfield, who's, I think, a very underrated running back, it's hard for me to disagree with Alshon Jeffrey.
You know, thinking about the development of what they meant to the offense and what Brandon Marshall means to this team and how that carried over to development of Alshon Jeffrey, is these guys have enormous ability and they have huge potential, and they're going to scare defenses. But how do defenses think about them now? Is it going to be Brandon number one and then trickle the coverage to Alshon? Jim, what do you think in the development of these receivers? Is it going to be about completely trying to shut one of these two guys out of the game plan, or is it going to come, you know, as they see it and the game develops?
No, I agree. I mean, there's always the coverage dictator, and that's still Marshall as an ex receiver. So teams are still going to gravitate to his side because he's just so physically strong and commands that type of coverage. But what it does, he's like the straw that stirs the drink because it opens up everything else. If a guy comes off a hot week, let's say they gravitate towards Brandon Marshall, and now Alshon Jeffrey has the big week. And then probably a couple weeks later, then it's Martellus Bennett who comes away with a lot of catches. And then it's Matt Forte. I think teams now start to react week to week with, oh, okay, they're targeting Alshon Jeffrey more. Then they'll start to gravitate there. And now it's just up to Jay Cutler to be the point guard because every one of those guys can be productive. And so to me, it's going to make it easier on Jay Cutler because now you're just dropping back and read the coverage. Oh, here's my one-on-one. I've got confidence in Martellus. I've got confidence in Brandon. I've got confidence in Alshon. He's going to go where the coverage is going to dictate to him, with who the defense is trying to stop. But I still think it starts and stops with Brandon Marshall.
One more question to follow that up. If you increase the speed of a receiver, like I'm talking about Marquise Wilson over Earl Bennett, if you can increase the speed of that position, does that change the way they have to look at Alshon and Brandon Marshall?
Yeah, well, I think it can open up a lot of things. You know, we talk about taking the top off the defense, those type of things. It can open up a lot of deep in cuts, those type of things. Shot plays may be more of a factor where you just, you know, you're going to line up and call it and say, hey, we're going to take a shot here and maybe a deep play action for Marquise Wilson for a home run type of situation. So, yeah, I think it's another element to the offense that can be explored and opened up because, unfortunately for Earl Bennett, a lot of times he was just nicked up and could never stay in the lineup. And we'll see if Marquise Wilson can provide that role within the Bears offense this year.
Hey, all I know is when he got an opportunity to get on the field late in the year, Jay Cutler was throwing him the ball, and he didn't stop throwing him the ball. And anyone who's been following Jay Cutler with the Bears, if he's throwing the ball to you, that means he's got confidence that you can make plays. So I'm excited to see what he can do going forward. Coming up next, do you want to win a gift certificate to Sports Authority? Mm-hmm. You can by asking Tom. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Rapid-fire football questions for Tom Thayer from you. Judge Jim Miller sitting back there with the legal pad taking notes. At the end of the segment, Jim Miller will pick the best caller, and that caller will get a gift certificate to Sports Authority. That's next. 312-644-6767. Ask Tom on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, a unique TV show starring Anthony Adams and Lindsay Petrucci, brought to you by Jimmy John's. Catch the show Sunday nights at 10:35 on Fox Chicago or go to chicagobears.com/insidethebears. And it is my understanding that this week on Inside the Bears, the voice of the Bears, Jeff Joniak, sits down with Jay Cutler, and Inside the Bears catches up with former quarterback Mike Tomczak Saturday, 6 p.m. on My50 and Sunday, 10:35 p.m. on Fox 32. Zach Zaidman, Jim Miller, and Tom Thayer with you on another edition of Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. It's time to play Ask Tom. We go rapid fire throughout the segment. Your chance to ask Tom Thayer anything you want in the world of football while Jim Miller takes notes. And at the end of the segment, Judge Jim will pick the best caller. That caller will get a gift certificate to Sports Authority. So let's begin the festivities in Geneva with Mike. Ask Tom.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, gentlemen. Great to talk to you guys. Hey, I just wanted to see what you guys think would be more important for a football team or the Bears, I guess, in general. But would you rather have a secondary running back as a change of pace guy or a number three speed wideout that can take the top off the defense?
That's a good question. To me, I like the speed that puts a lot of fear in the safeties in the league, and because then you're going to relax the line of scrimmage. And then if you do want that battering ram-style running back or a guy that relieves some of the pressure of Forte, you're not going to be facing eight-man fronts all the time. Because that fear of speed, whether the guy catches tons of passes or just contributes that aspect to the offense, I think the ability of the offensive line can increase the productivity of a running back if you have less guys near the line of scrimmage.
A gift certificate to Sports Authority is on the line. We continue with Ask Tom. We go to Bruce in Belvedere. You're on Bears All Access.
Hey, Bruce.
Hi, guys. I was curious, Tom, which type of defensive tackle gave you the most problems? The big gap filler, you know, bull rush type of guys, or the speed guys with the different moves, with the swim move, the rip move? Which were the worst ones to give you the most problems?
To me, it's a speed guy because there's so much uncertainty if they're going to be in that exact position that you need them to be to try to make contact. If you look at a guy in my career like Keith Millard or another guy, Pierce Holt, that played for the San Francisco 49ers, that had that extreme, the innate ability to predict when the ball is going to be snapped and get off on the count. And a guy like Keith Millard, his greatness, we saw what John Randall did with his undersized ability and then still getting in the Hall of Fame. Even if you're on the inside and if you have great snap count anticipation, you put fear in every over-attacking offensive lineman, because if you do get your head down and you miss him, you're beat, and this guy's going to be making a tackle for a two-yard loss.
Bears All Access rolls on with Wayne in Pontiac. Ask Tom.
Hey, Wayne.
Hey, Tom. without knocking out Aaron Rodgers, what is it going to take for this season to beat the Packers finally twice in one season, and on offense and defense? And that's my question. Thanks. Go Bears.
I think it's about getting pressure on Aaron Rodgers the right way. If you're going to make him escape, make him an escape to his weakest side. I think anytime he gets out of the pocket to his right, he has an unbelievable completion percentage. But to me, it's putting pressure to Aaron Rodgers. If you allow him to sit there and have that 3.8 to 4.0 of just that of unharassed time, he's going to kill you. So, you know, they got to get pressured to Aaron Rodgers.
Southside, Mount Greenwood, Elliot, you're on Bears All Access.
Hey, Elliot.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to ask what you thought about the Bears in the playoffs this year and, like, who they'd beat out to get in. Thanks a lot. I'm just listening now.
A lot like Wayne just asked, I think you got to beat Aaron Rodgers. You're not doing justice to the rest of the teams in the division when you're just talking about one guy within your division. But to me, I still think Aaron Rodgers is the best player in the division, and it means the most to his team. And that was kind of evident last year upon his return. So I think if they do find that plan of attack that puts Aaron Rodgers into a real uncomfortable moment or time when he plays the Bears, that's the best way for the Bears to control the division and win this thing.
Bears have just two wins against Green Bay over the last 5 years, counting the postseason, and Matt Forte last week said it's time to reverse that trend. Let's continue Ask Tom with John in Sheboygan. You're on Bears All Access.
Hey, John.
Hi, Tom. My question is on the return game. With Hester gone, what does it look like is going on in OTAs and minicamps? Is there one guy? Is it going to be two guys on punts and kickoffs? And what do you think is going to happen with Hester not in the lineup?
I think it's a good question. You got special teams coordinator Joe DeCamillis, and you got the scouting staff of Phil Emery and all of his personnel trying to find the most capable hands out there. And whether it goes through OTAs, into training camp, the preseason game, and then the final decision before the regular season game, sometimes teams take a while to settle on that one guy. If that guy falls into the hands of Joe DeCamillis and they have that blessed returner who has got certainty when he catches the ball, that's what you need out there. But I think the competition is so wide open, it's hard to narrow it down to five names right now. And if you look over the roster, so let's just hope they have it down to one or two guys before the Buffalo Bills game to open the regular season.
And it might not be one guy who handles both duties like Devin Hester did. And keep in mind, unlike Hester, it's not just going to be purely a specialist. So that person better be a contributor in other phases of the team, too.
Correct. And, the punting styles of today, they do have the spiral style. They have the end over end. So you got to get these guys that are, trying for this job in college to make sure that they're confident catching it near the sidelines when they're trying to get that directional punt. They're going to be, confident in catching when they have this, as Jeff says, the elevator shaft punt. All of these things, they have a lot of variations that they have to become familiar with.
One last contestant on Ask Tom. Afterwards, Jim Miller will pick a winner. We'll go to Doug in Oak Forest. You're on Bears All Access.
Hey, Doug.
Hi, Tom. My question is, with Shane McCollum moving to linebacker, do you think the Bears coaches will do something similar with him as they used to do with Roosevelt Coleman?
Roosevelt Colvin, he developed into such a quality pass rusher, and that's just a talent that he cultivated coming out of Purdue and was able to understand the tight end and the tackle positions he was facing and then continue his development. I think you got your sights set on anything, any type of contribution that Shea can make at the position. He's got a different style of linebackers coach. He's more aggressive, more in the face, but anything that you determine is an asset of his arsenal in Shea McClellan, you got to start developing it, because he's going to be looked to do every requirement that a linebacker is asked to do.
Good questions, good answers, but only one can walk away a winner. And Judge Jim Miller, who is that winner?
Well, all great questions, from the speedy pass rushers to the beefy guys and everything from special teams. But I got to go with Wayne in Pontiac, because he asked first about what's it going to take to beat the Packers, because you got to believe it could come down to beating them in the division to move on to the playoffs. So Wayne from Pontiac, gets the nod tonight.
Yeah, and just keep in mind, congratulations, Wayne, but keep in mind, Aaron Rodgers is just one of a ton of great quarterbacks that the Bears have to face this upcoming season. Difficult schedule when you look at the QBs. We got to take a timeout. When we come up next, we will have more on the Bears' newest quarterback, plus the NFL draft in Chicago. Is that a big deal? Next with Tom Thayer, Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zaidman. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Want to remind you that Bears All Access is now available as a podcast. Subscribe on the show page at chicagobears.com. Also, register today at priceless.com/Chicago for MasterCard's Priceless Chicago, a collection of amazing experiences available exclusively to MasterCard cardholders. Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer, Jim Miller with you on another edition of Bears All Access. Moments before we started the show, we talked about this a little bit at the beginning of the show. Jimmy Clausen, the former Notre Dame quarterback who spent some time with Carolina, was signed by the Bears to a one-year deal. They released linebacker Lawrence Wilson. Now, Clausen does have a little bit of a history with Mark Trestman while he was getting ready to enter the NFL draft. He worked with Mark Trestman. How valuable is that, Jim, when you have a little bit of a knowledge of the guy that you're bringing in and the quarterback understands kind of what the teacher is looking for?
Yeah, absolutely. In terms of mechanics, what Mark Trestman is looking for and his vast experience of what he's asking from the quarterback position, what he needs them, the level he needs them to perform at and execute at. So I believe Jimmy Clausen, you know, that message is received, and he knows Mark's coaching style. So I think there's a comfortability there, number one. And I think Mark has a good idea what Jimmy Clausen is as a player, much like Jimmy Clausen has a, you know, a comfortability of what Mark Trestman is as a coach and what he's asking for out of the position. So it's a good signing. They've got a past history, a past relationship. Now it's up to Jimmy Clausen to come in, compete like crazy to try and win the number two job.
You know, guys, what a great example he has before him in Josh McCown, because Here's a guy that had to come in and meet a new head coach and then reinvent himself in terms of his style, his decision process that he makes behind center, in the way that he was able to ingest the academic side of this system to get the most out of his ability. You know, Jimmy Clausen came to Notre Dame, went to Notre Dame, and probably was too high profile of himself, and he had a tremendous amount of confidence. But I think the humbleness that he's able to learn, not only from his college experience but his experience in the NFL, it puts a guy back on track. He understands what's important to him. And if you don't have a team, what's important to you, you don't have a chance in flourishing. So I think this is a really good opportunity to get into the mindset of a guy like Jimmy Clausen to see how dedicated he is to making sure he knows this system as well as he can to use his talents to the best of his ability.
Hey, Jim, help me out here, because last year at this time, there were a lot of critics when it came to Josh McCown, and they were saying, man, the Bears don't really have an answer at the backup quarterback position in the event that Jay Cutler goes down. He went down, and then all of a sudden McCown has a career year, ends up becoming a starter with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers during the offseason. So when you look on the video and you see what Mark Trestman did with McCown, can you help explain to us, that people who might not get it, what Trestman does to make life easier for quarterbacks who might have not had success prior to working with Trestman?
Well, you know, I'll say a lot of it in the NFL is happenstance. You know, Josh McCown actually was pretty good, was very athletic when he came out of college, and, you know, plays for Arizona. He played for the Raiders. He never was put in a good opportunity. Is what I'm trying to say. You know, and the same happened for me. I mean, here I arrived at the Bears, and it ended up being a good situation. You talk about right place at the right time. It was the right place at the right time for Josh McCown, because he always could play. But I do think there is some truth to what Mark Trestman, I think he knows the position so well, and when he coaches it, he knows what is realistic to ask a quarterback to perform and what is unrealistic. I've been with some teams where some OCs had no idea about the position and were asking the quarterback to do things that just were not possible. Hey, if they do this, read over here and then do this. That's unrealistic. Mark Trestman, in his experiences, knows what he can realistically ask a quarterback to do on every, you know, on every play in every situation. So I think it's quarterback friendly. He teaches it very well, and he gets his point across of what he wants done. And you know, communication is the key. And I just think he's very realistic what he asks out of the quarterback position.
You know, Jim, in talking to Josh McCown during training camp last year, he kept making this reference that the quarterback has no holes. It means when you go to the line of scrimmage, according to the terminology that's come out of your mouth, there's an exact decision to be made. And that's what I keep talking about. If the quarterbacks come in here and they can academically get into this system and they know exactly what they're saying according to the plan, and then the personnel they see across from them, they can make the right decision. And I think that's where Josh's confidence rose to such a supreme level, because he knew he was making the right decision.
Well, you bring up a good point. Like, I've been in offenses where you didn't have audibles. That's an uncomforting feeling when you're going up to the line of scrimmage and the defense is running a blitz and you don't have an answer. You don't have an answer. So what's your answer? Take a sack. That was the answer in some offenses I've been in the National Football League. And so that's, you know, the key, and I think the genius of Mark Trestman is quarterbacks want answers. Any offense is going to want an answer. If you're in a bad play, get into a good play. If they're going to do this, then we've got an answer that we're going to do that. And I think when a quarterback has the answers, you feel pretty good and you feel confident that any defense that is thrown at you, hey, we can gut this defense. We got the exact antidote to really give them what they're needing right now.
There was a little scuffle during the OTA session that was open to the media at Halas Hall earlier this week. We'll get Jim Miller's best scuffle story from off-season workouts during his career. Same thing with Tom Thayer. He's in the trenches, so you know he's got good stuff. Plus, the NFL draft in Chicago, is it a big deal? That's next with Tom, Jim. I'm Zach. I'm Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Join the Chicago Bears Kids Club, brought to you by Papa John's. Members have access to events, contests, and opportunities to meet Bears players, as well as chances to win Bears tickets. Sign up at chicagobears.com/kidsclub. NFL Network reporting that the league has started with New York, Chicago, and Los Angeles today, but hasn't eliminated other cities as potential hosts for the 2015 NFL Draft. It's definitely moving out of Radio City Music Hall. If it stays in New York, it'll be at Madison Square Garden. If it comes to Chicago, who knows? Who knows where it'll be in L.A.? But the league also is considering a four-day draft window. Right now, the draft is 3 days. Starts on Thursday night with round one, then goes to rounds two and three on Friday night, and then the rest of the draft rounds out on Saturday. They want to extend it maybe from Thursday to Sunday. What would it mean, Tom, to have the NFL draft in Chicago?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think much. I don't know if it's, you know, obviously I think the newness of it, if it wasn't a city outside of New York, yeah, it would be a spectacle like none others. It would be a weekend as big as an all-star game or something. But that's just the attachment that fans, NFL fans around the country have come to enjoy about it, the speculation of who their team is going to pick in the cheers and boos when they do. But, you know, I wherever it was, I would have the same amount of interest in it. A guy like yourself, high profile, you'd probably want it in an L.A.
Well, here's what I'll say. I've been at the last six drafts, guys, and Radio City Music Hall is absolutely dead the last day of the draft. There's nobody there. And so so 4 days for me, I just don't think that would
too
work.
Too much.
Yeah, it'd be too much. But I would say this. I do think there are a lot of other cities would love to host a draft. And what I mean by that, I think they should open it up to bidding, much like they do the Super Bowl. A city can host it. I think it would create a lot of, you know, say a centrally located city like Chicago. A lot of Midwesterners who've never experienced a draft would be able to drive in, from Packer fans to Minnesota fans to Cincinnati, Cleveland, you name it. St. Louis, they'd all be there. And I think it would go off, and it would be absolutely outstanding for the city of Chicago. And I think Chicago would do a great job. So to me, it should rotate around. Or if they open it up to bidding, much like to do the Super Bowl, I think they'd be surprised at the response if you look at it from the NFL side of things.
Tom, Jim, Jordan Mills, and Lamar Houston, I'm sure you guys have seen the footage already. It's been all over the place. When the OTA session this week was open to the media. Mills and Houston got into a little scuffle, then Jared Allen got involved, Martellus Bennett. Things got a little heated. And keep in mind, they don't even wear the pads during this stuff, and there's no technical contact. What do you make of that? And I'm sure you guys have better stories of better fights, true fights during the offseason between teammates, right?
Well, I'm always wearing a red shirt, Tom. You're the one to comment on this.
Well, you know, we didn't have series of OTAs to have the kind of that blood build up over the course of one practice leading to the next. It was something that you came in for minicamp. You tried to get out of minicamp healthy and get ready for training camp. And then that's where the battle started. Because I think everybody would say as they were pushing around a guy with no pads on, yeah, you wait till we get in full pads, things will be different. So there was a lot of threats during minicamp, and then they kind of forgot about them when training camp got there. But sometimes it did explode into a big-time battle that, you know, you got to come to the help of teammates.
I love how Jim uses the excuse of the red jersey. You know he was yapping away. That gives you even more of an opportunity to talk
smack. I did a lot
smack.
Of trash talking. I instigated a lot of things, but that never got in harm's way. I can guarantee you that. The red shirt made it all possible that I could just be on the outside looking in.
Good stuff. Hey, guys, another edition has come to a close. We'll do it again next week.
Sounds we need good, another man. Hour.
We'll do it next Sunday. For Tom Thayer and Jim Miller and a cast of thousands helping us out, I'm Zach Zabin saying thanks for listening to Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to this Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access, your all-access pass into the world of Bears football. You can listen to Bears All Access shows online at chicagobears.com. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Miller Lite, Verizon, and United Airlines.